It's good to be here. We talked this morning just for a little while about why has this happened. We looked at Gideon and Gideon's message to God or response to God when God basically said, you're going to be the savior of the Jewish people. And basically he said, then why is all this happening to us? You know, we can read about, you know, how you brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and you brought them into the promised land and all these great signs and wonders. But, you know, right now we're going through a very difficult time. Why has all this happened to us? We found that basically it's our own fault when sin entered the world. It brought a lot of things into the world as well. And so tonight I just want to expand on that just a little bit. Like I said, it's not necessarily a part two of this lesson, but with all of that, with all of those questions that we ask, why has this happened to us? I want to talk tonight about how we have stability in these difficult times and in these difficult days. So the context of Isaiah chapter 33 is we're around 700 BC and Assyria is advancing toward the southern kingdom of Judah. They are conquering kingdom after kingdom, and even the northern kingdom had already been taken into captivity. And so we find that the southern kingdom was very frightened by this. That they were afraid that they were going to go into captivity as well. And so they're trying to figure out what to do. And the decisions that they were trying to make were unclear to them. They weren't sure which direction to go. And so some of them thought, well, we can give ourselves up, right? So that's one of the options. We can just kind of hand ourselves over and hopefully we'll maybe get a little bit of leniency with the Assyrian people. If we just say, hey, we give up, you win, we'll do what you need us to, please let us stay in our land, or, you know, whatever. But who wants to do that, right? Who wants to just give up and, you know, basically give Assyria full reign over what's going on in the southern kingdom of Judah? Some of them also believe that an alliance with Egypt would be the way to go. But Isaiah said, we're not going to do either of those things. He tells Israel to trust in God. And I think it's a good reminder to us as well that during times of instability, we need to trust in God. That's kind of what we closed on this morning, reading Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. We need to trust in God. Some of the things that we talked about this morning as well are the unstable conditions that we're going through today. So it's not just, you know, the children of Israel in Isaiah chapter 33 getting ready to be overtaken by Assyria. There are unstable conditions today. We look at the political unrest in our country. We look at the war in Ukraine, as we talked about this morning. And then there are those things that are common to basically everyone. Sickness, death, natural disasters, everything that we go through. And some of the things are going to be more personal. That it's not, you know, something as large as a war or as large as political unrest. Maybe it's something that's unique to you. Whether it be a family member or something that is sick or your own personal health or your own personal finances, it can definitely be something that causes us to be unstable. But in Mark chapter 13, I want to start in verse 7. We're told there, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, he says, do not be frightened. Those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. be on your guard, for they will deliver you to the courts, and you will be flogged in the synagogues. You will stand before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them." Basically, these things have been going on for all time. If you go back to Job, in Job 14, in verse 1, and as far as chronology of the Bible is concerned, Job is actually the first book that was written, sometime probably around the days of Abraham. And we know that Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy was written by Moses after those things. And so while Moses dealt with things that were happened before any of these things would have taken place, as far as chronology is concerned, Job was written first. And in Job 14 and verse 1, it says, "Man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil." Basically, there's going to be difficulties in our lives. There are going to be unstable conditions in our lives. And it can affect us in many different ways. Sometimes when we go through those things, we get a sense of anxiety and fear. Sometimes it's full-blown depression that comes against us. Well, what does that mean if we're dealing with anxiety and fear and even full-blown depression? Well, depression affects about 1 in 10 people, about 10% of the people. It is the leading cause of disability in 15 to 44-year-olds. Those who are considered disabled, 15 to 44-year-olds, the leading cause of that is depression, anxiety, and fear. Along that same group, it is also the primary cause of suicide, which happens every 12 minutes. Think about that. How do we get to that point? How do we allow that instability to lead to suicide? Well, we're told in Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6 to go towards stability. "And he will be the stability of your times, a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." What we need to understand is stability is only going to come from God. Those verses say he will be the stability, a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. God will be that stability for us. And he is a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. Well, what can that do for us? Well, if you look at Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 2, starting in verse 6. "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. For wisdom will enter into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you, understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things." Basically, he's saying here that stability from God is going to be able to protect us from all of life's pitfalls. Now, that doesn't mean that the pitfalls of life aren't going to come. He just says the stability that comes from God will protect you from those things. They're still going to come, but you will be protected. In Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 21, he talks about comfort in times of turmoil. "My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor the onslaught of the wicked men when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Again, he doesn't say that these difficult times, that turmoil is not going to come. Certainly it is going to come. But he says God can keep you from stumbling in those times. Well, what does it mean that God provides for the knowledge of our salvation? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 16, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Now notice what Paul says here, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Think about what Paul is calling momentary light affliction. Think of all the things that Paul went through in his life. You know, he talks about in the same book, he talks about shipwrecked, night and the day he spent in the deep, all the times he had been beaten, all the times, all the nights that he spent in cold and hunger and in thirst. And all of those things that he went through, he calls momentary light affliction. How can he do that? How can he call all the things that he went through momentary light affliction? Well, I believe it is because of the knowledge that he had of his own salvation that he was able to call it that. He knew that the outer man was decaying, but he also knew that his inner man could be renewed day by day. He wasn't looking at the things which were seen, but the things which were not seen. He knew that the things which were not seen were eternal. And he allowed that to help him to get where he needed to be. Again, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll start in verse 6. Paul says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. He says in verse 8, in the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. He knew what was waiting for him. And so he's telling Timothy, you know what? My time on this earth is almost over. But I know that in the future there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And it's not just mine, but anyone who can find their stability with God. So what is the key to stability? Well, again, if you go back into Isaiah chapter 33, he tells us what that is. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6, and he will be the stability of our times, a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. It is the fear of the Lord that is the key to stability in our time. If we look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Think about that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of true knowledge. If we have a healthy fear of God, it's the beginning of knowledge. We're going to do what he says. But he says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. So think about that for a moment. The key to stability is fear. How do we keep from being anxious? How do we keep from being fearful? How do we keep from going into depression with all of the things that are unstable? It's fear. But it's the right kind of fear. It's the fear of God that will do that for us. So the key to overcoming fear is actually fear. How ironic. In Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We should be striving to be accepted by God. And the fear of the Lord is going to be the beginning of that. In Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 34, opening his mouth, Peter said, "I most certainly now understand that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him." So as, again, as Peter is studying with Cornelius, is talking with Cornelius, and he sees that the Holy Spirit comes down on them, just like they did on the apostles, he says, well, how can we forbid baptism for these that's happened, you know, to them just as it did to us? He says, "I most certainly now understand that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who fears him, who fears God, and does what is right, is welcome to him." How do we become accepted by God? Well, we fear him and do what is right. In Acts chapter 13, as Paul is addressing here those in Antioch of Pisidia. In verse 16, he says, "Paul stood up and motioning with his hand said, 'Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen.'" He continues in verse 26, "Brethren, sons of Abraham's family, and those among you who fear God, to us the message of salvation has been sent. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, recognizing neither him nor the utterance of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled these by condemning him. And though they found no ground for putting him to death, they asked Pilate that he be executed." It was no longer the Jews, it was no longer the religious rulers and leaders of the day that were being accepted by God. Notice what he says in verse 27 again. "For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers recognize neither him nor the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled these by condemning him." He says they read about him all the time. Every Sabbath day, they're reading about him. But they don't have the proper fear of God. They don't even recognize Jesus as the Messiah. And so they are not found pleasing to God. But those who are, he says, "Brethren, sons of Abraham's family, and those among you who fear God." So while there may be Jews included in that, he says, you know what? Now you don't have to be a Jew to be found pleasing to God, because they haven't listened. The fear of God will remove evil from us. In Proverbs 16 and verse 6, "By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil." If we fear God the way that we should, he says, he'll keep evil away from you. So when it comes into our life, again, that's not on God, that's on us. In Proverbs 14 and verse 26, "In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge." Do we fear God the way that we should? That's what's going to keep us stable in an unstable time. The trust, the fear that we have for God. If we do lack stability, then what our verses for today tell us is that we lack wisdom, knowledge, and salvation. If we don't have stability in these unstable times, then this is what we're lacking. But we also understand that with a proper fear of God, we turn from evil, and in turning away from evil, we turn toward God. One last verse. Hebrews chapter 13, we'll start in verse 5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? It says, if you put your trust in money, if you put your trust in things, then man can do a lot to you by taking that away. Taking money, taking things away from you. But he says, if your trust is in God, the giver of those things, then there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing that man can do to you. I hope the lessons today have been encouraging. I know that we are going through difficult times, that we are going through unstable times. There's, you know, again, certainly the war in Ukraine that we, you know, read about over and over, and it's being on the news, and all of the things that's happening even in our own country that seem to be unstable. I want us to understand that we can have stability, but it starts with fearing God the way that we should. If you're here tonight and you haven't been fearing God the way that you should, whether that means that you're not yet a child of God, that you've not fully put your trust in God to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, or whether you've once done that but yet have allowed maybe some of the things that are going on, whether globally or in your own personal life, to cause instability in your life, to cause you to question God. There's time and opportunity to make those things right with your God this very night. We can baptize you into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. We will pray with you. We will pray for you. If you feel that there's something in your life that is lacking, that you want to become stronger, if there's a sin in your life that you feel that you need to confess to your brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what we're here for. We're here to pray with you. We're here to pray for you. If you're here tonight and subject to God's invitation in any way, please come to the front seat while we stand and while we sing.